Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to one more program about Fatima. As you have heard from the introduction, I speak only about three apparitions, which I consider the most important ones, and the Church itself considers them the most important ones, and they are the ones that gather more people in pilgrimages, for sure. Mexico, Lourdes, and Fatima, together with other places like Holy Land, Rome, and Saint James in Spain. Well, and we have said that the Church divides these appearances in categories, and the first category, which is the most important one, approved with widespread liturgical veneration and endorsed by the Holy See indirectly. And the three ones that I have mentioned are indeed in that category. There are other categories. There are the other two categories, and these are secondary to the first one. The second would be approved by the ordinary, by the bishop, the local bishop, but that's it, no more than that, approved locally, and they do have some importance locally for the people of that country, but universally they are not widely known. And they don't attract pilgrims from other places apart from the ones of that country, that particular country where our Blessed Mother has appeared. And so we have already in 1594 in Quito, Ecuador, we have an apparition, a religious sister, Mother Mariana de Jesus Torres, reported that the Virgin Mary appeared to her in the Conceptionist convent in Quito, Ecuador. We have another one in Laos, France, in 1664, and also there we have over apparitions of Mary over 54 years. The number of apparitions are very many, but still she appeared to poor shepherds. But it's only important locally. Then we have also one in the United States in 1859 in a place that was called Robinsonville and is now called Champion, Wisconsin. And there we have the appearance of our Blessed Mother to a catechist that was going to church to teach the kids catechism. We have another one in France. Certainly, France is the place where there have been more apparitions. In 1871, Our Lady of Hope is a single apparition to Eugène Barbadet, is 12, Françoise Richard, 11, Jean-Marie Lebeau's, 9, and Eugène Fritaud, 6. Well, you had also this single apparition there. Then in Poland in 1877, we have also 9 apparitions in this place. The visionaries are also kids, as usual. Justina, she is 13, and Barbara, she is 12. So there have been signs and also a miracle, a healing miracle of the Poland Cardinal Stefan Wyszyński. He was cured on the 10th, on the century anniversary of these apparitions. Now we have Beaurain, Belgium, in 1932, the Virgin with a Golden Heart. There were 33 apparitions in this place, and again, kids, Fernand Voisin, 15, André Desjambres, 14, Gilbert Voisin, 11, Gilbert Desjambres, 9. So that's in Belgium. And the following year, the Virgin of the Poor appeared also in Belgium in 1933. And then we have an important apparition of which I'm telling you in second half of the program, because it has some theological importance, this apparition. There is a revelation, or supposedly revelation, of another title for our Blessed Mother. So we need to discuss that before we move to the other apparitions. But for now, there is a one in Japan. Japan has been a very difficult country since the Middle Ages for the evangelization. Japan and China, but even worse than China. China because of the political situation, but culturally China would be more open to the gospel than Japan. Japan has been very difficult, but there in 1973, a sister, Agnes Katsuko Sasagawa, she reportedly saw the Virgin Mary, and that apparition was approved. Then we moved to Nicaragua, precisely at the time of the civil war between the Contras and the Sandinist government. And there we see the apparition. It's in 1980, our Blessed Mother appeared to a sacristan named Bernardo Martinez. We have also one in Venezuela in 1984. The Blessed Mother also appeared, and she appeared as a reconciler of all peoples and nations. We have the only one in Africa, in African continent, that is in Kibeho, Rwanda, in 1981. And there were many apparitions there. Our Blessed Mother appeared to Alphonsine Mamureke, she was 17, Natalie, 20, and Marie-Claire, 21. So they reported Our Blessed Mother also there in Rwanda, that country around that time, that civil war, that ethnic civil war, the Hutus against the Tutsis. Then we have just a single apparition for a single category, that is, the Holy See approves public pilgrimages to the place, but that's it, not public veneration. And of course, the local bishop hasn't approved yet. And that's Our Lady of Medjugorje. Well, since I will have a program to speak about Our Lady of Guadalupe, and another program to speak about Our Lady of Lourdes, I will, just because of the historical ties of Radio Maria in Italy, being somehow connected with Medjugorje, I think I will have to speak a little bit more about Medjugorje, and probably why the Holy See has not, and even the ordinary bishop has not, approved it yet, or why it won't be approved. So this is the situation of this appearance in Medjugorje. Public pilgrimages can be done, and as a matter of fact, there are many public pilgrimages there, even from outside the country. But that's it, not public veneration, and of course not celebrations there by bishops or even the Pope. Now, there are also the last category is of those places that public veneration is allowed, They have been around these apparitions for a long time. The Holy See and the local bishop doesn't have a will to investigate further, so they let them somehow in limbo. Public veneration is allowed. Pilgrimages are allowed, and somehow they got inside the church, and no question about them. Also, because it's difficult to question them, because many of them, if not all of them, they are far away in time. They are far away in time, so it's difficult to investigate the facts at the time, for now. And so those are Zaragoza in Spain, and the apparition there is the Our Lady of Pilar. It's very popular in the whole Spain, and lots of pilgrimages there. Everything is allowed, and as far as the church, no question about it. And of course, the ordinary is not going to look into the facts. They are somehow legendary. Our Lady appeared to Saint James the Apostle, so around the year 40, when Saint James was going to Santiago de Compostela, he was a bit discouraged, so Our Lady appeared to him. That's the tradition. There was also an appearance in 1061 in Walsingham in England. Our Lady of Walsingham, and that too approved by Pope Leo XIII, but nothing more, no more investigation. There is one in the Our Lady of Mount Carmel. This is a very important one in 1251. It appeared to the famous Saint Simon Stock. From this apparition, as we had the apparition of La Salette, and we have the Miracles Medal, we have from this apparition the devotional scapular, which is in itself a small version of the Carmelite habit. And of course, as you know, used by many people, not just the Carmelites and the Carmelites Third Order, but many other people use these. Of course, in this Mount Carmel, of course, you know it is one of the mounts, in holy mountains in Israel, in the Holy Land. We have also Our Lady of the Watch, and that is in Italy, in Monte Figogna. And then we have an appearance in India, and that was in 1570. In Italy was the 1490. Then we have another apparition in Lithuania, 1608. An apparition in Vietnam, in 1798, another one in France in 1876, and also one in China in 1900. Our Lady revealed herself as the queen of all Chinese people. We have another one in France in 1944 in the Ile Bouchard, another one in Poland in 1578, and one in Rome, and another in Czech Republic. Those are the list of many pilgrimages, and I believe there are probably others that are not mentioned in this list, but these would be the most important ones that have public veneration, especially in the country. They are not very much international, universal, but they are important and very popular for the country where Our Lady appeared. Now, as I told you, I would go back to that apparition that is Our Lady of All Nations, and it was in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, Holland, that Our Lady appeared, and it appeared to a Dutch secretary, and it seems her name was Ida Peerdman. It was in 1945, and it looks like in this apparition Our Lady revealed herself as in a way that she would somehow wanted the dogma, another Marian dogma, to be proclaimed, and so revealed herself here as mediatrix, advocate, and corredemptrix. Now, the titles of advocate and mediatrix, they are very easily understood, and the Church has nothing against them. Mediatrix, of course, Our Lady is the medium, the person that goes on between, in between. As you heard, God created us without asking us, but He did not save us without asking us. And who did He ask? He asked our Blessed Mother. And our Blessed Mother, in our name, on our behalf, she said yes. So there is, that's the mediation. And of course, God needed a human person. In this case, it had to be, of course, a woman. He needed a human person. So she is the medium, the person that goes on between. And so she helped out salvation, because Jesus was born from her, was born through her, and through her salvation came to our world. So, and she is advocate, that's what we say in the Hail Mary, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. So we tell her to pray for us. And why do we tell her to pray for us? Why is she advocate? Well, the same reason why she visits her cousin Elizabeth once, and from there she continues to visit us, and that's the reason why I'm talking to you today and the other days before and the days after about these apparitions, especially Fatima. And so she's also advocate. She prays for us because she did it also in the Bible. We saw her. We saw that she was very observant in that wedding banquet in Cana. She saw that they had no wine, and so she did something about it, and so she asked their son for that miracle to be done, and her son did it. So, you know, when somebody asks something from his, when a mother asks a son to do something, most probably the son always does it. We have seen great mothers in the Catholic Church that had a big influence on their son. So we would say the mother Mary also had a big influence on her son Jesus. We see Saint Helen; she had a big influence on her son, the Emperor Constantine. Saint Helen built big, huge, beautiful churches in the Holy Land. She was the one who built it, of course, with the money of their son, with the power of Rome. Constantine was the emperor. She was not the imperator. She was just the mother of Constantine, and she did great things. She discovered the Holy Cross of Christ. We have another big mother, the mother of Saint Augustine. She also, with her prayer, she managed to convert her husband and her son, Saint Augustine. So you see, big mothers, there is nothing they can't do. When they ask, they don't have power themselves. You see, we have Saint Helen, mother of Saint Augustine, and the mother of Jesus. By themselves, they don't have power, but they have a big power, the power of intercession. They have the power of intercession, and that they used it very well. So, no problem about being mediatrix and about being advocate. Now, about being co-redemptrix, that's a problem, because the word co puts... So she is also Redeemer as Jesus. I know that the ones that speak about it, they refer to a subordinate but essential participation by the Blessed Virgin Mary in redemption. Notably that she gave her free consent to give life to the Redeemer. Okay, that's true. We cannot deny her participation in redemption, in the redemption of humanity, but it's a subordinate participation. So if it is a subordinate participation, you cannot use the word co-redemptrix. You know, she has, like each one of us, Peter and Paul, they play the part in the redemption of humanity. All the apostles play the part in redemption of humanity, but they are not co-redeemers. Of course, Mary played a part much bigger than Peter and Paul, but still, it's not co. Because the way I understand co, I need to give you this example. There is a principate, you know, Monaco is a principate. The head of state in Monaco is a prince. But there is another one in Andorra. Andorra is between Spain and France. And this is not a principate, it's a co-principate. Why is it co? Because the princes are two. The princes are two, the heads of state. Andorra is a valley between Catalonia, Spain, and France. And this valley, of course, it has a government and a prime minister. But they also have the head of state. And the head of state are two princes. One is whoever is the president of France, actually. So would be Macron now. And the other prince is the bishop of the Seu d'Urgell. Seu d'Urgell is a diocese in Catalonia that also comprises the whole of Andorra. So whoever is the bishop of this diocese, Urgell, and whoever is the president in France, they are the princes of Andorra. One is as powerful as the other. None of them has more power than the other. So that's what I understand by co-prince, co-princes. Well, you cannot use that word co and say that she is co-redeemer. And then you say, well, but she is subordinate. If it is subordinate, then take away the co. Don't use it. She took a big part. And of course, in all humanity, after Jesus, she is the one. But it's still after Jesus. And she is subordinated to Jesus because she became mother of Jesus because she was first a disciple. She was first a disciple of Jesus, so to say, because she heard the word. What is a disciple? The one that hears the word and puts it in practice. And so she heard the word from the angel and put it in practice, the word incarnate in her. So she is mother because she is a disciple. And the last thought, she cannot be co-redeemer because she was also redeemed. She is a human person. She is not an idol. And we Catholics especially, we have this tendency of giving more titles to Mary because she is the flesh of our flesh. Although a redeemed flesh, she was redeemed before she existed at the time of her conception. When she started to exist, she was redeemed at that right time. But so she, if she was redeemed, then she cannot be a redeemer. And that's it for this year, brothers and sisters. We will be again together to speak about Fatima already next year, on the 7th, I believe, Thursday, the first Thursday of the year, on the 7th of January.
Have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.